There you go. Well, you're going to soon find out that I stutter. Thank you. A little good laughter once in a while is good for our heart. But why are you laughing at me stuttering? You can laugh a little bit, it's fine. Because sometimes you have to learn to laugh a little bit about an infirmity. And infirmities are really important in our life. Now, listen, you're not laying at you, you're laughing with me. And I mean that sincerely. That'll take a little while to absorb in your ears because I speak slowly. And for some of you, it's going to be very uncomfortable. And for those of you that it's uncomfortable, I'm going to speak slower for you. Oh, yeah. And you're going to say, when is he done? And then I'm going to say, that's for you, brother. I'm just going to slow you down a little bit more because I don't have a choice. That's just the way it is. My wife has learned this. And what a good wife not to speak very much. I don't mind her speaking, it's great, but after a while you just gotta shut it off. And so mine is automatic. And she's good at, well, Doug, do you have anything else to say? And I just fall asleep and it's great. I want you to look in your Bible, please, where we were just at, but just at one or two thoughts. And I'm going to say once in a while, do you understand? And I want you, you're in Hebrews 11, is that right? Hebrews 11. If you're not there, just turn to and act intelligent. You'll be perfect. But the idea is that I have to slowly speak, and for some people, that will be challenging, especially to those of you that speak quickly. And I don't have a problem with you speaking quickly. As long as you listen slowly, we're okay. All right? Good, you already got it. Look at there at Hebrews 11. And I want you to remind yourself that in Hebrews 11, there are things hoped for. And would you just for a moment meditate on the fact there are things hoped for. I have things in my life that I'm hoping for. I want to ponder with you just a moment that you have things that you hope for. You have things that you hope for children. You have things hoped for that friends, literally, I'm pausing on purpose so you can think about things that you're hoping for. It doesn't matter your age. You can still hope. You say, well, I'm older now. You can still hope. And I'm slowing down and changing my voice just a little bit so you can comprehend some things that you're hopeful for. I have things in ministry that Patty and I are still hoping for. We have children, and we have things they are still hopeful for. Again, I'm going to pause once in a while so you can think. Because sometimes we think too quickly. And I'm going to make you feel a little uncomfortable. So you pause and listen to the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost says, there's things that you have, Doug, that you're supposed to be hopeful about. Are we still all right? Yes. Think of some of those things with children, grandchildren, ministry, business, whatever it is that the Lord is impressing on your mind, it's okay to be hoped for. So I want to say again, there are things hoped for. One more little part of a scripture is in Romans 14. Romans 14. And thank you, because I listened to the pages turning. What do you mean? Well, I'm waiting for the pages to turn in your Bible so I can hear what we're going to think about. It's Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And again, Romans 15, verse 13. Now, the God of hope. Do I have the right scripture? The God. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Wait a minute. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost empowers hope, it's different. I want to say it again. When the God of hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, It's different. And the for you right now, it may be that you're thinking about something and the Holy Ghost is empowering you about a situation that you have in your life. And the Holy Ghost says, I can empower you about that. And I can fill you with hope. And that will bring joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Please listen, there's certain things that we that stutter a little bit want to slow someone down to think about something in a different way. You read the scriptures, but the Lord wanted to slow you down to think about it in a different way. And I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying, slow me down a little bit, Lord. Let me ponder that, because I don't have a choice. Well, why don't you have a choice? Because my brain won't allow me to go quick. Well, can't you go quick? No, I can't. I have to repeat it in my mind over again. And you may say, boy, that may be challenging. Well, yes, it is. But thank the Lord, listen to me, thank the Lord for an infirmity that the Lord has given, because I can't get healed, but I'm already healed. People just don't know it for me. What do you mean you're healed? Well, I got healed by the Holy Ghost. And I'm not exaggerating this. I just have to breathe, take a slow breath, and say, isn't that wonderful? And then the Lord will give you something. And it will cause you to ponder, meditate, think about it. What did you get out of the message? Well, I'm still thinking about it. You see, I got stuck on hope. I'm looking for the power of hope. Where is it? Right in front of you. What is it? I don't know, but it's purposeful for you. I have this hand that when I get stirred up, it starts pointing. But it points in a unique way. Like if it's pointing at you, you better be careful, brother. You're not in trouble, but you will remember it tonight. you okay? My wife doesn't do that to me. I don't point at my wife because I don't want to get in trouble. But it can stop because my stuttering takes over and I just have to slow down a little bit. And then I put my other hand on top of this hand and I'll say, now be good. That's right. Be a good little boy. He says, do you speak to yourself? What else do I have to do? But it helps you to listen to yourself better or listen to the Lord. Is everybody all right? And if you're uncomfortable right now, good. I want to ask you if it's okay to bring my wife up here just for a moment. This is Patty. And Patty and I get along very well. Oh, there you are. No. Yeah, go ahead, Patty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Hi, Patty. Now, we are very comfortable with each other, and we love each other, and she understands my infirmity. If you don't know what an infirmity is, well, Patty, tell them what an infirmity is. Do you know?
It's when you have some sort of problem that is bothering you, whether it be physical, mental, emotional. It hinders you in some way.
Very good. I didn't even know that. Because we are supposed to articulate things and then think about them. And it's good when the husband and wife can communicate. And she teaches me a lot. Then I forget it. What do you mean you forget it? Well, she has to teach me again because my memory doesn't last long. And that's okay. Certain things you don't want to remember. It makes arguments go away real quickly. Like, what are we arguing about? I don't know. What's your name? And it's good. So, Patty, and I this morning, I said, hey, Patty, would you speak for a couple of minutes at the conference? And she said, okay. And I don't even know what we're going to talk about. But that's okay too, because it will be edifying. And I want to be edified by my wife. And if you don't know what edification is, it makes you smarter and understand more. Is that right?
Yes.
Good. Patty, why don't you say a couple of things that is smart?
I don't know if I know anything smart, but after 38 years of being a pastor in San Diego, my husband suffered, he had 10 blockages going into his heart muscle. So really it was a miracle that he was able to have the open heart surgery and bypass surgery, which bypassed those clots. And then 3 weeks later, after he was recovering really well, doing everything they told him to do, 3 weeks later, he suffered a major stroke. And that stroke was a blood clot in the back of his brain. And that blood clot, because it's caustic or deadly to the tissue around it, causes seizures. And so he's been hospitalized 4 different times with seizures. And different things can cause him to go into a seizure, but right now he takes medication to keep from that happening. But I want to say that the Lord's been so good to us. And even though you go through hard things in your life, God's always there beside you, guiding you, directing you. And we've seen huge improvements. So we're really, really thankful.
So wait a minute. So I get to still be alive.
Yes. And his heart did stop a couple times, like when he had the open heart surgery, they couldn't get it going again. And then when he had the stroke, he flatlined. And they came out and asked me, do you want to keep your husband alive? And I said, absolutely. And so, you know, that's a question no wife ever wants to answer. But I was like, do everything you can.
That's a good question. Doug, do you want to stay alive? Well, let me think about it. I'm going to meditate on that overnight. And it's okay. Because not complaining, you have stuff that you gotta go through. You're online watching this, and you're hearing someone say something that is connecting to something you have. Or are you something that someone else has? And you're going through something or going to go through something, and it's okay. Well, how do you know that? Well, why would God bring me up here to talk about this if there wasn't a purpose? I'm not making something up. We're here in a conference, and I'm here to learn. I want to learn something. And God said to Patty, talk about this a little bit. And it's not something my wife wants to talk about a whole lot. What do you mean? Well, Patty, what are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about you died. How'd it go? Well, I'm still alive, brother. And it happened another time, and we're still on the trail. And maybe it will help someone else, please. And I'm not being Well, I guess I am. I have to try to be a little funny, because how do you talk about death? And my face contorts a little bit because, Patty, how did I die? I don't remember.
Your heart stopped.
Yeah, that's good.
And they had to revive you.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
No, it's good. And then, what's that, not the stroke thing, but the...
So when he has major seizures, he can't remember who he is, where he is. For sometimes a couple of days, they'll put him on strong medication in the hospital, and they'll come and ask him, what's your name, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you know what's a blessing? I don't know my name sometimes. And I forget everything. Oh, you can't be true. No. You just forget everything. You mean the good, the bad, and the ugly? Yeah, everything. And then you have to start over again. And they'll say, okay, what's your name? And I'll say, I don't know. And then I have a trick, truly. I say, what's that armband say? Say, what are you talking about? I'm Doug Fisher, because the armband says so. Then they'll start asking me a couple of questions, like, where do you live? And I tried to have it memorized. Why? Because I want to get out of the hospital. That's true. So I try to memorize their questions because I want to get out. It takes a few days to get out because they're tricky. I'm serious. If you were where I'm at, it'd say, answer the questions, buddy, because I want to get out. And Patty just stays quiet because she knows the answers. I know this sounds a little funny, but when you're in this situation, believe me, you want to get out of the hospital. Well, why? Well, not because it's good food, even though it might be. It's because they're going to stick more needles in you. And after a while, I don't like needles. You could, if you like needles, God bless you. After a while, I don't. When that needle comes near me, I say, no, no, no. Right? Because I get a little afraid of needles. You say, what's the big deal? Well, I'm a wimp. Is that okay? Yeah. And Patty's really good with needles. She has, what's that, what do you have about needles and because you do all that needle stuff?
It's a long story.
No, come on. It helps me to not be afraid, but she has to poke herself to give herself Hebron.
Heparin. A blood thinner. When I was carrying babies, I had to do heparin shots twice a day.
Yeah, and it was purposeful. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have purpose. Just keep me alive, buddy. I have more things I want to do if the Lord would allow. Does this make sense? See, you're thinking, and I'm trying to communicate to you in a different way that you may not have thought of. And I hope this is edifying and not wasting your time. I mean that. You say, well, you're just giving me a story. No, it's a life. It's about life. And I cry at night. I don't try to make it so my wife cries. She's pretty strong, and she's a deep sleeper. It's true. You gotta find humor in some of this. Are we still okay? So I hope you're listening on purpose, because some of you will have things that you'll go through and you didn't plan on it, but it's okay. The Lord knew, and the Lord loves no matter what. He loves. And by the way, don't we have more appointments?
Yes, we do.
We have appointments about everything. I don't even know. I don't even listen to the appointments anymore. Truly. Because Patty just says we have an appointment. And I say, okay, that'll be fine, thank you. What it's about, I don't know. Check in with Patty. She knows them all. Because doesn't it say she's in help? Meet for you. Listen, it's not an help meet. It's an help meet for you. It's a help specially designed for you. That's what an help meet for you is. It's not a help meet. It's, Doug, you have an help specially designed for you. Trust her. She knows what she's doing, or she'll learn, because she really loves you, and she had to make a few decisions that was life and death. Literally. And the ball was in her court, not, please listen, not the doctors. It was, Patty, what do you want to do? And Patty said, we're going to do this. And where were you? I was laid out. Literally out to lunch for 3 or 4 days. Not out to lunch, but you understand what I'm saying. And so far, it's turned out okay. Oh, I have the scars, because scars are important. Right? You say, what's important about a scar? Well, the scars are very important. What'd you get this one for? I'm not telling you. But I could tell you what they're for, this one and this one and this one and that one. Because scars are experiences that mean something. Does that make sense? Patty, thank you. I know this is uncomfortable for you. Thank you. Brother Shemesh, would you come just for a moment, and I won't elongate this. It says, now the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace, believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I like just Pastor Shemesh to say just a couple of thoughts that might come into his mind, because this is edification and he's listening. And I like to be around thinkers. Would you say amen? Amen. I mean that. And sometimes there is a perspective that I can get to think about something that's worth coming to the conference for. Mm. You had a Sunday school lesson this morning that evidently was very edifying. I'll listen to it sometime because I heard it was good. I don't know who's speaking tonight, but I already like it. Right? So, Pastor Shemesh, I'm just going to listen, if that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, good morning. Good to be here with you. Brother Fisher phoned me this morning early and suggested that I might want to come up and say a few things about hope, which I really didn't want to do. In fact, I said to him, you know, I think that's probably one of the areas that I least understand. But he said, well, God will give you something. Thank you. And I'll give you just a thought in a moment as we sort of move to conclude. Can I say that for some of you, you remember Brother Fisher when he was here before he had any surgery and before he'd had any seizures. So this is the first time that you're seeing him after that happening, and others of us, of course, have been a little more in touch more regularly. I think sometimes our discomfort comes out of the fact, like, I'm watching you. I'm sitting over in that chair and I'm listening to him, but I've been watching you as well, and I've been watching what's happening out there, and I've noticed a couple of people moving closer to their wives. And I've noticed a couple of wives moving a little bit closer to their husband. And I think what's happening is the discomfort can come to us as we, you know, sit and listen, because in part we begin to think, this could be me. Some of you have already been through health events, and some of you are probably saying in an extra way this morning, thank God. Thank God that he got me through some things, because this could be me. I could be in this position. And those are good reflections. That's useful to think that way. Some of us who are a little bit older are starting to see friends around us and people around us succumb to various health events. And you can't help wondering a little bit what lies ahead and where that may all go for you. But what I take away is that we do have the Lord, and it is different for us. So we may suffer similar things to what those who don't know the Lord suffer, but we have a comforter, and we have different things that help us that the world does not have. You know, as an unsaved person, as you get older, the worse it gets, because you're coming to the end. Your body is beginning to succumb to age. The natural zeal and energy that you had before is diminished. There are many more challenges lie ahead as you get older. And as an unsaved person, it's about to get much, much worse. But for the saved, though we experience some of the same physical things, we do have a hope that has been spoken of this morning. The hope that he's talking about is a supernatural thing, all right? So that's, you need to understand it in that context, because it's a word that anybody can use. But the hope that's being talked about here in the scriptures and the hope that he's been speaking of this morning is a supernatural thing. The Bible tells us that there are three great things: love, charity, faith, and hope. And the context of all those three things is that they are supernatural. All right, it's not the same as what people who don't know the Lord have. The passage in Romans talks about the power of the Holy Spirit to generate a hope in you that is not natural of itself. When we talk about grace, we're talking about something happening that is beyond you. It's something God does. And the idea of hope is the belief that it's going to get better. That's what hope is. Hope is belief in it's going to get better. What's going to get better? What lies ahead for me is better. Yes. It's better. Now, God may give you hope about a child, a situation, a ministry thing, where the Lord is able to affirm to you it's going to get better. Or can I say this? It will work out in a way that is better. Now, that's very hard to see when you're in the midst of a grief or a pain or a trouble, because all you see is what is in front of you. And if you look at that alone, you won't have hope. That's why faith and hope are tied together. All right, in 1 Samuel 27:1, David says this statement when he was feeling very dismayed. He makes these words: there is nothing better for me. All right? So there's an absence of hope there. His hope is not present in that verse. He said, there is nothing better for me. But hope speaks of things that are better. There are better. So what happened? What happened was, for David, there was a faith failure. There was a moment where David could not see beyond his circumstances. And if all you see is your circumstances, and if you can't see beyond that, then you will have an absence of hope. But faith says to us, I have an ability to see beyond what is just in front of me. I know by faith things I can't see. And if you don't have that, you have nothing better than what the world has. You can do the Christian life without God if you want to, but it won't go well. But if you'll take hold of the things that God has given us, which essential things like faith, hope, charity, and allow God to do his work by his power with those things in your life, then we are much, much better than the people in the world who don't have him. So hope is that belief. Brother Fisher said he has some hope for ministry things. Hope to be able to do some things for the Lord, hope for some other areas, and that's what we've got to take hold of. Okay, we've got to abandon our thinking and take God's thinking. We've got to die to the way you think about things, and start thinking about it how God thinks about things, okay? Because you cannot help yourself. You'll do yourself in. Your thinking will do you in, okay? You need the Lord, and you need to submit to the Lord, and you need to yield to the Lord, and you need to believe the Lord, because without Him, you're just the same as anybody else out there. And some of us are in places where we absolutely need the Lord and we don't want to be there without Him. It's hard enough. So I think there's been some good thoughts here this morning on hope. I will take away and meditate further on some of those scriptures. So thank you for calling me up at short notice. And I may pay it back sometime. Pastor.
I like short notice thoughts because that way they can't come back on you as quickly. Preacher, you come, please. Thank you.
All right, why don't we meditate a bit this morning?
Oh, preacher.
That's all right. Wonderful things we get to do in life. Literally, I'm good. As, are you okay? And I say, I'm perfect.
All right, preacher.
Good. Thank you.
All right, let's have every head bowed, every eye closed, and bring some things before the Lord this morning. And, you know, it's good for us to just be edified about things that we don't always think about, but sometimes we just need to be confronted by. And maybe this morning it's just simply that. You just need hope. And you just need the Lord to supernaturally minister to you, to just fill you with hope. And I'm glad we know the God of all hope. And we saw this morning just really in Scripture, but in by word of testimony, how needful hope is and how much hope can fill us to see for tomorrow what we can't see today. And so why don't we take the time, the piano is going to begin to play, and maybe if you don't mind this morning as well, as we're quiet in this place, would you just pray for conference this week? Would you just pray that the Lord will use it to touch our hearts, to meet us at our point of need, and perhaps already in your heart there's a great need, and there's a great heartache perhaps, there's a great question, and would you just surrender yourself today to the Lord to say, Lord, please speak to me. Please use the time, Lord, and please work in my heart. And would you work in others' heart? And maybe you've got a friend, maybe you've got a family member, you know, they just need something from the Lord. Would you pray for them today? And so as the piano is playing, let's come to the altar this morning. Let's just ask the Lord for hope. Let's ask Him to fill us with hope, and let's ask Him to meet with us this week. And so as the piano plays, let's begin to do that.